Douglas, patents, for example. I mean, is anybody locking down this technology? Is it going to get? Is there any danger it will be either buried or? I don't know.
On the contrary, it's burying the patent office. It's interesting you should bring this up.
That's great. Yes.
Because what is happening, and there was just actually an article published on this recently in Forbes, I believe, that the patent office is now falling years behind on processing patent applications, and it's nanotechnology that is driving this flood that is basically drowning the patent office. What we are seeing here, Art, is in front of us a potential collapse of the conventional patents regime on which the industrialized world has based its superiority over the rest of the world. Patents have been the foundation on which drug companies, all the high technology companies have based their dominance, but now we're getting to a situation where not only are there so many inventions coming forward from people, but also artificially intelligent systems are beginning to design machinery that is patentable. And so all of these patents are being thrown into the system. And guess what? All the people who have the intelligence to assess this certainly aren't working for the patent office because they're getting paid a bundle of money to work for the company.
I don't even know where to start. When a artificially intelligent idea is patentable, whose name is put on it?
Well, probably the guy that invented the
artificial intelligence
software, and had the claim to it. But this is seriously happening.
I know, but you can't have the whole patent system collapse, how do you take advantage of your invention?
You have to be able
to capitalize on it.
And there is a huge conflict going on right now in the intellectual property community over this. It's called open source. And, of course, the best example of that most people have heard of is what was invented by Linus Torvalds is Linux,
yes,
which is one of the big competitors to Microsoft. And,
yes.
And what you see there is an open source type of software going out there in the marketplace. And by the way, countries like all of the municipalities in Germany, or many of them at least, and the whole country of China have basically started kicking out Microsoft and said, no, thank you. We're going to use this open source stuff because it's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
And here's the important thing. When you talk about can benefits still accrue to individual inventors, here's the dividing line.
Well, is the person who invented Linux rich and comfortable in a big mansion somewhere?
Not at all. Torvalds gave it away.
He
gets paid as a consultant to help develop it in a way that it serves as the platform.
Oh, I understand that. I was just wondering if...
No, Torvalds isn't rich at all.
No.
No, he's not. And he just decided that this was a worthwhile thing to do. It's like the guy who invented...
Well, that's wonderful, but he ought to be rich.
Well, it's like he could be, actually.
I mean, isn't that a little worrisome if you invent something totally revolutionary, like the paint you just talked about or whatever... You probably should have the right to capitalize on it, shouldn't you?
Well, yes, but, you know, the whole argument in the science community has been for years and years and years that scientists who contribute to these types of inventions are also putting that out there in the public domain. And here's the important dividing line. The important dividing line is when scientists invent platforms that can be used across a whole bunch of industries to develop patentable inventions, as opposed to patenting the platforms themselves. And the class example of that is HTML markup language that allowed the Internet to be used by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if someone had patented that, we would be in big trouble.
We wouldn't have it.
That's right. They gave it away. And it's those kinds of people who, more than the Microsofts of the world, are enabling these types of new technologies to run across all kinds of platforms.
So then you're predicting that nanotechnological ideas are going to be so many, and it's going to progress so fast that it is going to put the patent office out of biz?
I think that you're going to see a combination of those two things. You're going to see a collapse of the patent regime in certain areas because they simply can't handle it on platforms. And by the way, a lot of countries don't pay any attention to the patent regime. They're just going ahead and innovating anyways.
Sure.
And on the other hand, you are still going to see people being able to use patents in limited areas to make a lot of money. And I think, actually, that's a very good compromise. But to do that, the patent office is going to have to do one thing, and it's a theme that you and I have been talking about for years. they also are going to have to use artificially intelligent systems to do pattern recognition, for example, to identify these patentable ideas, because there's simply too many of them for the ordinary person to handle, and all the people with the skills aren't working for the patent office, they're working for the companies. So the patent office is going to have to figure out a way to use computing and artificial intelligence to digest and make sense of these hundreds of thousands of patent applications that are
In the meantime, though, with the patent office being bogged down and not having much of a chance of a very technical nanotechnological patent going through,
are people
just sitting? Are they sitting on these ideas?
No, there is wholesale borrowing going on. I mean, it's
explain,
a big problem.
What do you mean borrowing?
Borrowing means that basically, for example, in software, a lot of lines of software are being taken out of programs that have so-called patent pending, and are being used in other programs, and so you're getting this huge mix. And if anyone could ever apply patent limitations to every single line of software that had been borrowed and put into another piece of software, the whole system would just collapse on itself.
Sure.
Because you'd be paralyzed by lawsuits preventing all this software from working.
Exactly.
So it's already
yes.
becoming unmanageable in a lot of these areas.
So you envision then a world where these ideas are just sort of instantly shared with the world.
I see the and I'm not the only one. Ray Kurzweil, who you know very well and who has been cited often on this show, who, by the way, invented the scanner and the synthesizer and a bunch of other things, along with a lot of other very knowledgeable people who are a lot smarter than I am, have basically said that what we're seeing here is the exponential acceleration of knowledge and invention. And this exponential acceleration is going to undo a lot of these archaic legal mechanisms that we have set up to generate wealth. So wealth is going to start being generated in completely other ways.
Well, explain some of those ways. It'll be
the first to market. Instead of the first to patent, it'll be the
first one who can
actually get the product out there, get it sold, and make a bunch of money on it before someone else borrows from it and takes over and supersedes it. So you're going to see this very rapid super acceleration of knowledge and invention and money being made in quite different ways.
Boy, is that a dog-eat-dog world or what?
Well, in one sense it is, but in the other sense, it is going to potentially produce enormous benefits that will allow people and inventors to spring off into other niches, and it'll be those niche industries where people can generate wealth for themselves and be secure for the rest of their lives.